Mulligan from CD Beta, and he's going to talk to us about the future of mapping.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I know yesterday you heard all kinds of technical presentations and got overwhelmed with the details, but I can assure you any presentation that starts out with a cartoon is not going to be technical. So this should be fairly easy. I know a lot of you are familiar with who I am and who our company is, CD Beta, but just to give you a little background for those of you who don't know, my company publishes your parcel maps, assessor data, throughout all of California. We publish it on the internet through CD-ROM, mainly to people like realtors, people in the real estate industry, appraisers, surveyors, people like that. We also have a lengthy list of government clients, state agencies, local taxing districts, things like that. You name it, anybody who would normally need to have access to your information. Primarily, our specialty, you might say, is taking the data that you have and standardizing it. Because most of the people who would come to us need more than just your one county. They may need a dozen counties or perhaps all 58. And they want to use a product of some kind that allows them to kind of have a one-stop shop, even compared to going to, say, different assessor sites that might have the information for free, rather than having to go to a dozen different sites that want to come to one location. The one question that comes up is, why me for this presentation? Now, there are plenty of people in this room that can talk about the future of mapping. But the difference, the thing that I bring to the table a little bit this morning is the fact that we have a unique position. Our company, essentially because of where we are, we have one foot inside your office and one foot outside. We deal very closely with not only you in the mapping department, but with the appraisers, the people in the data processing. So we're constantly working with you, learning how your data works, why it is what it is, how to read parcel maps, and we also bring that information out to the world. I like to say that one of our biggest jobs is simply public education, teaching our customers what it is they're looking at when they look at your information. Why does it look the way it is? Why does it contain what it contains? Why does it not contain what is missing? Why don't you have phone numbers, that kind of thing? We have seen every assessor map in the state. There's between 400,000 and 500,000 of them. And we've either scanned them all or scanned through them all, looked at them. We've seen the differences. We process thousands of them every month. Your departments are sending maps. Some of your counties are sending daily updates of maps to us, monthly. Some of them we get full updates once a year. But every month we're processing thousands of them. So we see how they change over time. We've seen how they've changed over the last 40 years. We see how they change on a monthly basis. Not only, and I'm not talking just parcel line movements, but how, the manner in which you draw them has changed over the years. We also have our own cadastral and GIS staff. At the beginning of the year, and for the last couple of years, we got into doing GIS work, but also this year we began getting into actual cadastral work. Most of you know Denise Tober, former chief draftsman at Hanover County, as well as Ron Sugimoto. Denise is actually here with me today. Ron Sugimoto was the chief draftsman at San Joaquin County for a number of years. Both of them have retired from their counties and now work for CD Data. And primarily came on to do GIS work, but we also learned that there were a number of counties, particularly smaller ones, who were struggling to meet just their cadastral work needs. Either they would lose a draftsman in a one-person shop, or would just have an overflow of work coming in, with the real estate boom in the last few years. And so we offered our drafting expertise to various counties, either on a short-term or a long-term basis. We've done drafting now for several counties. We essentially have been Trinity County's drafting department for a couple of years now. But we've also done Monterey, some of their work on a regular basis. So we're starting to do some work in San Diego. We've done work for Amador, for San Joaquin, a pilot project in Contra Costa, and there are some other counties we've been talking to and just at least offer the service, and it's free. And people ask, well, why would you do it for free? Well, considering our business, we have a vested interest in making sure that those maps are current, because you know, that becomes a tremendous part of our product. So you know, anything that we can do to help you help us make our product better is in our interest. And ultimately, we have, I would say, a different perspective than you do. I mean, you tend to work, you know, heads down, looking at your information and keeping that going and keeping that, you know, a quality thing. Well, I sit back and watch all 58 of you, you know, and see what's coming out. And so I can, you know, help you, you know, keep from having to have 58 conversations yourself. I can help you understand what's going on between you. The big question, you know, as you can tell from yesterday, and I'm sure from many conversations you have had, is GIS specifically, is that technology the future of cadastral mapping? It's clearly the future of many kinds of mapping, but how will it fit or does it fit with cadastral mapping? That's the big question that we'll offer. Many of you have said yes, some of you are saying no, some of you are saying, well, maybe. I know, you know, I gave the same presentation at an assessor conference a few months ago, and you know, they certainly understand the technology even less than you do. You know, so they have a big question about that. You know, they get pressure coming from here and there and everywhere telling them, hey, it's great, or no, it's that's are great. And also that it's a question. Well, over the next hour, I'm gonna you know, give you some information that might help you answer that question. I'll prove to you that your department, you know, not only in my opinion, but in many opinions, should be in your opinion, that your department is the most underappreciated department in government. And I'm sure you will enjoy hearing what I'm about to say. Also, when we get to the end, I'm going to show you how to get an extra 5 weeks of vacation every year. The value of mapping. Have any of you ever read this book? Anyway, The Mystery of Capital. If you have not bought this book, you know, $8, you can go to Amazon.com and purchase a copy of it. This will, you can pull chapters out of here and post it on your wall and email it to everybody you know. In this book, you know, Hernando de Soto asks the question, why does capitalism work in the West, but not anywhere else? What is it that makes America the wealthiest nation on the face of the earth? Well, the answer, believe it or not, is your house, your property, and how we handle that in America. In the rest of the world, go to Europe, Africa, you name it, anywhere else in the world, and you look at what's the value of property. What do they use property for? They use it for shelter, for storage. You know, look in your garage, you'll see they use it for the same here. It can be used as a meeting place. It can be a home office. You go to a lot of other countries, you'll find home businesses like crazy are just done out of people's homes. So the business, you know, property has value in that sense. But in America, it's worth far more than that. Hernando de Soto said the single most important source of funds for new businesses in the United States is a mortgage on the entrepreneur's house. Second quote is the formal property system is the place where capital is born. Think about how that fact affects things. When we have a reliable property system, now I feel comfortable loaning you money on your house. You know, our professor talked about yesterday, you know, way back in the early days of Santa Cruz, how when they weren't sure who owned what, you know, they couldn't borrow money, nobody would lend any money, and so you know, the whole California economy just kind of laid stagnant there for a while until they finally had a map and could prove who owned what. Well, if I can do more than just live in my house, all of a sudden I can pull that money out of it, pull that capital out of it. Well, now I can start a business. Now I can send my kids to college to get them an education so that they can go do more than I did. I can go on vacation. I can even take money out to improve the house that I'm living in that I just borrowed the money on so that now I can even release more capital out of that house. The single most important source of funds for new businesses in the United States is a mortgage on the entrepreneur's house. It's directly in what you involved in what you do. Now, you provide reliable ownership tracking and security to the transactions that are
done in the real estate market.
What is your role in that property system? California is one of the top 10 economies in the world. One of the few countries that beats California is the entire United States as a whole. But California consistently ranks all by itself in one of the top 10 economies in the world. Your parcel maps and property data within the assessor's office are relied on every single transaction that goes on, whether it's a sale, whether it's just a refinance, you name it. People are looking at your records and they're looking at your parcel maps. And you say, well, our parcel maps are just pictures, though, right? And they're just used for assessment purposes only. We've got that nice little banner we put on our maps. It's just for assessment purposes. So, you know, should be treated that way, just as a picture. Well, what is it a picture of, though? It's a picture of, you know, sometimes a legal description this long, but sometimes it's a legal description that's pages long. You've got this nice handy little picture that tells people what that thing looks like. Your maps have increasingly, over the years, become relied upon in the real estate industry as a replacement for that legal description. As the world speeds up and goes electronic, transactions need to happen faster. They need to happen sight unseen. No, there are people all over this country buying properties without ever having seen them because they're relying on what you said the property looked like. They need a faster way to determine what the subject property is, and they find it in your maps. Like it or not, better or worse, your maps, because they have been so trustworthy for all these years, they have become relied on them for that purpose. Yes, people will still put their legal description on the deed, but I think you know better than anybody how the fact that there are fewer and fewer and fewer people who even know how to read a legal description, let alone read it properly. And I'm talking to title companies and everybody who now say, hey, look, you know, that parcel map, everybody looks at the parcel map and says, yeah, that's the property I'm buying. Say, yeah, that's the property I'm selling. They don't read their legal description. You have legal descriptions that don't even close. We see legal descriptions that go from one document to another, and they're describing two parcels on the old deed, and now it only defines one of those parcels, but the second parcel just got left off somehow. Nobody even noticed. The title company does not even care. As long as that transaction goes through, they get paid their fee for their title insurance. So, if you have effectively become the quality control department for most title companies. Now, ignorance is bliss. Don't let those things fly through as long as they complain. And you have to realize also, though, that property taxation is now just one use of the system. The value of those maps transcends what you use them for. In the past, you just used them for your own use, but now the value of those maps far transcends what you're using them for in now. Now, what's the stakes that being the case? They're used for more than just efficient tax assessment. You now have a top 10 world economy relying on those maps to help them produce capital that keeps the state running. Now, you've got the weight of the world resting on your shoulder. All right. Now, always panic a little bit. The maps that you have work. And do not ignore that fact. The maps you have today, the way they're done today, how they got where they are today, work, and helps California get where it is today. But, and we said, you got to keep up with the times. There's new technology coming. You got to be able to draw your maps different, you know. And the question comes up about GIS. You know, it's not the way it should go. You know. Again, we don't draw pen and ink much anymore. So we have the opportunity to succeed or fail big. Now, you need to understand why your maps work. I'm going to get my glass of water over here. Keep my mouth open for this one. Want to understand why your maps work the way they do. History of mapping. This is your second history lesson in 2 days. How did we get where we are today? Well, going back to the mid-1800s, as we talked yesterday, just about the time of the gold rush, there were literally about 800 different separate property jurisdictions. Each of them had their own records and regulations. Everything was established just by local consensus. As you can see, they just all agreed on who owned what. You stay off my claim, I'll stay off yours. But by World War II, it becomes to be a formal assessment procedure. Procedures are in place. Properties are reappraised every 4 years. You know, pre-Prop 13, everybody gets reappraised every 4 years. Well, it's difficult for appraisers to determine what property is being appraised. A, look at those legal descriptions, and some of them, certainly back in those days, are extremely complicated. They've got, you know, stuff obviously dating back to the Mexican land grants, as we learned yesterday, not the Spanish land grants. New appraisers had a hard time learning the system. And because of its complexity, you had double taxation, you had escaped assessments, you had all kinds of things. And so the county recognized, counties recognized that they needed to put those written legals into some kind of picture that could confirm for them what they were looking at, what they were trying to appraise. And so they decided to create a comprehensive mapping system. Larger counties began to create their own set of maps. And I actually have a photo of an early mapping department. Some of you will recognize what some of what you see. You might even see a familiar face or two in there. Well, after World War II, we began to see some changes. The state board came in. They standardized a lot of the system. They standardized, you know, what paper size was to be used, what annotations would go on the maps, what the assessment numbering system would be, the whole book, page, block, parcel system. And the state came in and actually drew some maps for the smaller counties and helped them when they didn't. You know, back then, they not only weren't one mapper shop, there were no mapper shops. And so they drew the maps for them. And so we finally had a set of maps that covered all of California. Well, in recent years, we have some technology advances. You know, we've seen significant changes. We've gone from parchment, linen, and mylar, to AutoCAD drawings, to PDFs, and TIFFs, and you name it, electronic forms. We've gone from photocopiers, and blueprint machines, to scanners, and printers, and email. In fact, if you go to your Office Depot, I'm not even sure you can buy anymore a true photocopier. They're all now scanner printers. So technology has gone, you know, through the roof. Well, today, we have finally our fully modern mapping department. the latest technology, although that, yeah, not everybody gets it. There seems to be some kind of state board on
That's good.
We've looked at the history of mapping and how we got there. Now it's time to turn to the standards on which that original system was based. And for that, we turn to the Bible. And by that I mean the State Board of Equalization Assessment Map Standards Handbook 215, which we've talked so much about in recent days. Now, if you'll open your Bibles with me, the first commandment says, and the board said, the assessor's maps are the foundation of the assessor's record system and provide the legal description for the assessment of all parcels of real property for taxation. The second commandment is likened to the first. And again, the board said, the suitability of the maps for field appraisal use is the most important element in designing the map system. Again, the suitability of the maps for field appraisal use is the most important element in designing the map system. Finally, we come to mapping's golden rule. In addition to the assessor's uses of the maps, numerous individuals and agencies make a wide variety of uses of the assessor's maps. These uses are important, so the maps should be readily available all who are interested in them. However, these are all byproduct uses. The assessor needs to control the design of the map system. Can I get an amen? No matter how many other departments are going to benefit from whatever map system is being proposed, The assessor maps must meet the needs of the assessor's office first. Everyone else is secondary. Everyone else is a byproduct use of your map system. Your maps work for you, and they work for the rest of the world because the maps you have were founded on these principles. Everybody has come to trust them and rely on them because they do that job. Now, we've read from the Bible and we've talked about our parcel maps. Let's talk about GIS for a bit. Natural selection. The other side of the argument line. What does GIS technology do well? What keeps it on this forefront of everybody's mind on what we can do with it? GIS magazines are full of every imaginable application that GIS technology can be used for. It's tremendous. You have agriculture, customer tracking, disaster planning, resource allocation, asset management. It literally is the biggest news in that. You know, everybody's looking, what can we do with GIS? And it is just been a boom. You know, it's amazing what people are dealing with it today. You've got people calling you from insurance companies, developers, utilities, investors, all kinds of important sounding government agencies with all manner of letters in the alphabet, Fish and Game, CDF, the DWR, the USDF, USGS. Everybody who has an acronym needs to get a hold of these things. Well, what's interesting about these groups is that most of them already have their data mapped in a GIS system. They've already got a GIS. So, you know, and on top of that, they already have their data mapped in a GIS. They know where you are. In fact, they know where everything is. They know where the fish is. They know where the game is. They know where their customers are. They know where the roads go. They know where the agriculture is. In fact, most of this particular crop is grown up in Humboldt areas.
I was just thinking.
They can take that information and they can overlay it on all kinds of maps at any time. They can lay it on, you know, road maps. They can lay it on Tobo maps. They can lay it on any kind of map. And they can do all kinds of massive amounts of analysis on that data. So the question is, why do they need a parcel boundary layer? Why do they need a GIS map from you? You know, if you stop and think about it for a second, the parcel layer by itself is not exactly worthless, but close to worthless. Because all that parcel layer has on it is just boundary lines. All I can tell from it is what's the relative shape and position of parcels. Well, I'm here to tell you that what they need is not necessarily that parcel layer. What they really need is the ownership data that you have and a bridge to get there. What they have is their data. What they want to get to is your data. And if there's no, you know, data element in the database, like if they don't have parcel number in here, that helps them link to the parcel number in your system. They need something that'll get there. And a graphic layer does that. They can take their data, map it, and then they take your data, which has been mapped. They lay those two graphic layers on top of each other, and boom, yeah, they can get into your ownership data, find out who owns the property that has the fish on it. It's the old picture is worth a thousand words thing. All the anomalies begin to jump out. They begin to tell, you know, what parcels are important, which ones are not. Which ones are inside the school district. Do we have a parcel that's in the school district that didn't light up when I, you know, asked for all the ones in my school district? All of a sudden, are there parcels missing that my school district's not getting tax revenue for? That kind of thing. They can then also contact the owners of the property now that they can get to your data. I know where the road is. I don't know who owns the property next to the road. Now that I have that parcel boundary layer and I can get from my road to your parcels, I know who owns it. And now I can contact people. I can contact people easier when I need to do a timber harvest or a road expansion or you name it. I can get to those property owners. They can track their own parcels better. They don't have records lost like we used to. You know, if you think about even the parcel number system, you know, every time a parcel splits, the old parcel number goes away. You've got new parcel numbers at the end of the sequence. That leaves legitimate gaps in the numbers. Well, you know, somebody outside working with the data, they can't tell the difference between a legitimate gap and just a parcel that doesn't exist anymore in the data. Well, now that they have these maps, they know, have I missed data? Do I have data for every parcel that shows up on that graphing? Not only that, but they can track parcel history. because I can take the old map and the new map, lay them on top of each other, and those parcels, the new parcels, exist in the same physical space as the old parcels, so I can track that stuff. It takes us right back to the Mystery of Capital book. They're using this information in these GIS layers to help create reliable transactions, to track ownership reliably, essentially keep the economy going by having that information at their fingertips. Well, that's what the world does with it. What's GIS worth to you? Is it useful for field appraisal work, as stated in page 215? If we're going to replace the parcel map system we have with a new mapping system, it's still got to meet the original requirements. Otherwise, we no longer have, you know, what we need. Here's how appraisers can use GIS. The main thing that GIS maps specialize in is really showing the relationship, again, between parcels, how they're grouped, are they where they should be, where are they in relation to other similar or dissimilar parcels. GIS specializes in showing the big picture. It's great for analysis and data linking between, again, between different databases. Helps you can identify, you know, for an appraiser, identify appropriate or inappropriate comps. You know, I did my search for comps, displays them on the screen, I see this one anomaly that's way out here, so I can take that out of my comps really easy. Gives you a quick overview of many parcels at once. You can use it to link to other departments, like the building department, planning department, you name another department that you've already seen your own GIS groups link to. The question is, does that describe field appraisal use? Appraisers, think about it, mostly look at independent parcels. What they need, and why these maps were drawn originally, is they need something that shows them one accurate legal description at a time. Now, in 2004, Sonoma County actually did a survey among you, and many of you may recognize some of your own quotes in here. I have left the names and counties off to protect the innocent. But here's what your own department said about GIS when you were asked the question, asked this first question. Give me a slang term you'd use to describe a really good-looking guy.
Everybody said.
The question was, is your GIS parcel base accurate enough for you to update and maintain your assessor's parcel maps? Is it accurate enough to update and maintain your assessor's parcel maps? One county said, our GIS parcel base is not very accurate due to stretching or rubber sheeting of the parcel base. Next county, it is not accurate enough, nor does it have enough detail. Next, our GIS was not accurate enough for our needs when we rubber sheeted maps together to form a county map. Other quotes, our GIS data is not quite ready for use in published assessor maps. The accuracy is not consistent. One just said, no, it's not accurate enough. Our GIS parcel layer is not as accurate. The summary quote was, while the GIS parcel level layer may be accurate enough for broad planning and development purposes, which we've already discussed, the whole data analysis thing, the assessor here still chooses to use the individual detail assessment maps for use by appraisers in completing their field work and for making annotations. Field appraisal use is the most important element of the design. Now, origin of the species. How did GIS maps evolve? Let's take a look at, you know, how did GIS maps come into being? At the same time, we realize how, you know, again, how parcel maps come into being. How do GIS maps evolve out of that, the way they're created today? Now, you realize we start with, first of all, around Earth. It's got topography. No, you name it, features to it. Start with round earth. You survey that thing. Some parcels are surveyed with modern survey techniques. Some of them were surveyed back in that day. We start and we survey those things, figure out where are they. Then we create a written, two-dimensional legal description out of that parcel. Then we take that written legal and we turn it into an APN map. Then we take those two-dimensional APN maps and we turn them into a GIS layer, rubber sheeting as we need to create the picture, to create one big contiguous GIS layer. Now, you get to this point, and you start seeing all the things that you saw in your previous quotes. Well, you know, it's not really accurate anymore because we stretched the thing, so it's not really the legal descriptions anymore. So we say, but it also, you know, we need to fix it because it doesn't match what's on the face of the Earth. So we overlay it on a state plane coordinate system, and we put it over some aerial photos, and all of a sudden, hey, we're seeing all these glaring errors. Now, things aren't lining up. Well, okay. The thing that everybody tends to assume, hey, I got this GIS layer, it's got all kinds of problems in it. All the problems must have been in these crummy APN maps. Well, what they had totally forgotten is that 98% of the error, if you want to call it error, came here in step one or here in step two in the surveys and written legal descriptions. These APN maps are done darn well for what you have to start from. But the GIS layer ultimately suffers it at all because of these steps, not because of the APN map. But we say, hey, you can fix it. We'll put it on the state plan and the aerial photo. Well, Robert Jones, National Survey and Engineering firm, had this to say. Legal descriptions and plat surveys are measured on the ground. State plane coordinate systems introduce scale factors, which obviously distort ground measure distances and would distort a legal description. Well, what about aerial photos? Well, let's go back to your own mapping survey and look at a couple of quotes from there. One county said, the GIS parcel base is not accurate enough. Why? We did not have any money for the purchase of high-precision aerial photographs as a true base for the parcel layer. Things not accurate enough because we don't have any aerials. Another county in the same survey responded, we have a GIS parcel base, but it is not accurate enough. Same problem. It has been rectified to our ortho photos and has inaccuracies of 50 plus feet in some areas. Our GIS group compounded the error by rectifying it again to the ortho photos. So what we think is, you know, fixing the problem is not fixing the problem. And of course, you recognize that it's coming from, the problem is based on who's looking at the problem. Are you trying to turn it into a legal description-based mapping system, or are you trying to turn it into a picture of the Earth? Those are two different things. Well, is GIS a good thing or not? Yes. The answer is yes. You cannot ignore all of the applications that are out there that use GIS and just say, oh, nah, it has no value. You know, it has obvious value. Every map has its purpose. Be it street maps, be it topo maps, be it planning maps, ortho photos, or your APN maps. Every map type has its value. Now, given that, here are some recommendations for both GIS mapping and APN mapping. Things, and these recommendations are coming out of our own experience over the last few years with not only, you know, the maps that you have and dealing with our customers and training them, teaching them what's the value in it, but also the cadastral work that we've done in-house. We've drawn cadastral maps. We have experience doing that. Between Ron and Denise, they've got decades of experience. We've got experience, and they've taught us in the last several months. We've had experience with GIS maps in nearly every county at this point. So here's what we're learning about them. We'll show you how there are some improvements that you can make in mapping even if you don't use GIS technology. There are improvements you can make in GIS maps for the sake of those who do need it, and we'll look at how to manage the increasing workload and expense that you have with or without GIS maps, you know, despite your shrinking budget. The fastest drafting improvement you can make is just to simply lighten the load that you have. We have learned over the last several months, you know, and I know that a number of you do this already, but get recorded maps electronically. Somebody's already drawn these things. You know, why start from scratch? Why start from the pen and ink all over again? Get the maps electronically. The way you get them is you teach the benefits of them to the engineering firms. We have learned that we've had great success just contacting the engineering firms and telling them, hey, we're working on maps, you'll get them back faster, you can cross them back faster, we can turn those things around in a couple of days instead of a month if you'll get us those electronic files. those things come to us, you know, easily when we explain to them what the value to them is in getting those files. Improve the situation by teaching them the standards you'd like to see those files in. Say, hey, we can get it to you faster if when you get it to me, you take all the garbage off there that is only useful to you in that recording. Take the stuff off, you know, use, tell them what you want. Tell them what you want. Get that thing as close to your finished, looking like your finished map as possible. This is, we've already proven to be effective in our own work. Okay, APN maps. How to get an extra 5 weeks of vacation every year. Ready for this one? Biggest time saving. This may seem like an odd one at first, but push for the resurveying of just 1% of California. Get the engineers who go out there and file the maps, get the engineers to record those legal descriptions as maps, so that you can begin to refer to them by the map reference number and not have those big, nasty legal descriptions. The same properties transfer over and over again. So you're constantly seeing the same legal description. Well, if you get those legal descriptions instead of this legal description down to this legal description, it simplifies the job much more. You can reference, you know, parcel has seen on a reported map number, blah, blah, blah. A much faster way to work that. 95%, if you look at what you do during the day, 95% of your workload is reading, not drafting. You look at how long do I actually spend in AutoCAD drawing a line? How long did that take? Versus how long did it take me through the day to figure out where I'm supposed to put that line? Or confirming, just, am I even looking at the right parcel? Am I looking at that legal description? The largest 1% of properties in California have the worst legal descriptions. The big fat ones that are over 100 acres that are out in the woods, you know, that have these horrendous legal descriptions, those represent, you know, 1% of the state. If you can take care of that, you take care of literally 70% of the acreage in California. And if you do that, you can save just 6 minutes out of every hour in your day. That's 200 hours for 5 weeks of every year. Now, you may or may not get to spend those 5 weeks. But you have 5 weeks to do something else. And to get that pile that's in your basket finally done before you can see over it. Now, biggest GIS improvement, interestingly enough, push for the resurveying of 1% of California. It's the exact same recommendation, the same thing that's going to help your APN map work go easier. The same thing that's going to make that GIS map a better map. Survey 1% of California. Get more control points. Now, most of you, this comes back to, again, working with those engineering firms. Begin to build relationships, get those maps electronically, also begin to get survey points from them. Get more control points into the system, get newer, shorter legal descriptions into the system. 1% of the parcels in California cover 70% of California's area. Now, take those out of the way, 70% of the remaining parcels are single-family resident. Odds are they already have good survey. You know, most of the new properties that are created are recent and surveyed pretty well. You can get those, I mean, think about it, if I can cover 70% of California's territory with 1% of the parcels, and I can cover another 70% of the parcels with good surveys, all of the remaining parcels automatically have a much smaller, you know, area to slop around in. Yeah. All of the remaining parcels suddenly become better positioned on that GIS map. Just by default, through the old rubber sheeting technique, they'll all begin to move around the ones with position accurately. Hey, GIS. I've had more counties complain about that. Not the technology, but how it's being, you know, pushed to you. Technology, great, but, you know, one county after another said, you know what, this thing started out as a favor. Planning department or somebody else came and said, you know what, hey, we've got GIS layers and we need a parcel-based map and you could really help the county out if you do this and do that. You know, and you're looking at it and say, well, I can't, you know, my assessor's office doesn't use this thing. Or they use it pretty nominally. You know, we don't use it for appraisal work, but you know, occasionally we look up something on there. I think started out as a favor, And I said, okay, well, we'll create it, but we got to be able to, you know, either got to put some more money in the budget, or we've got to be able to sell the thing and do something with it, get some money back out of it. Well, Mr. AG decided that it was mandatory that you give the thing away, so now you can't even get money back for it, so now you're forced to give it away. And the phone keeps ringing despite the fact that it's free, because now you've got all manner of people out there who don't understand what they're looking at. We just got this great free map. Hey, why not get it? It's free. It's $5. It's, you know, I can get a million some odd parcels from LA County. $8, $7.50, something like that, plus cost of shipping.
More than 2 million for $5.50.
Yeah, more than 2 million for $5.50. I'll get it just to see what it's got in it. You know? Well, now you've got people who don't know what they're doing, looking at the thing, don't understand where it came from, that whole process of coming through the parcel maps and what's on it, why you're not on it. You know? And these people are complaining that, oh, I got to make 58 more phone calls to go get a copy of the world data to attach to it. I got to get updates, and I got a project, I need a new copy, the parcel changes, how come this parcel is missing? And they're saying, well, how come you guys can't standardize those things? You know, I've got 58 different GIS maps, and none of them are the same. They're telling you, oh, drop everything, I need this thing right away. You know, I needed it yesterday. You know, I'm paying my $8. And the complaints go on. The complaints just go on from there. Well, here's my last suggestion, and this is one coming free from me to you. Because of the relationship that our company has with all of your departments, I suggest that you don't draw it, borrow it. For the last several months, we have been putting together, this is a course of business, a statewide GIS map. And taking the maps that you have. Remember, I said at the beginning, our business is really taking your role data and things that you have and standardizing that for the public. We kind of act as an intermediary between them to absorb all of those variations for them. So we've been acquired with the base maps that you have. Denise and Ron have been diligently working together to actually begin to maintain our own set of base maps. What we realize is when we get, you know, all these different formats from you, if we go standardize them and bring them current and do all kinds of stuff to them, well, I can't go back and get another map from you, because now I've got to do all that work in standardizing it all over again. It's not nearly as easy as standardizing the data. These graphic layers, you know, have to be touched by hand. So we're going to do our own maintenance and keep our own set of base maps current all the time. You're sending us the old data and the parcel maps, everything we need to keep those things maintained. We're starting to sell them to, you know, state agencies, other government agencies, private companies, who again, they don't need one map, they need 15 or 58. And they don't have the capacity to handle a variety of formats. And so we're coming in as a middleman. Today we've got 43 counties ready to ship. We're using, you know, cadastral and GIS experts that you trust. We're using the same methods that you would use to make sure that map contains what it needs to contain to the accuracy it needs to be. It's a means of reducing your workload. The map will be kept current for you. You don't have to turn around and give the thing away, because what you can now do with us, it's the same with our ParcelQuest product and everything else we design. Part of our contract with your offices is that any product we develop that will contain data from you, you get access to for free. And so the GIS map is just one more of those things that if you want it, we will deliver it to you for free. And now you can have that base map in-house without having to do the drafting yourselves. We're going to do it anyway, because it's a product we have to create. If you want to take a look at the base map we're doing for your county, just say so. We'll send it to you. You can take a look at it. If it's going to work out, then we'll make the arrangements for you to get those regularly. Now, get rid of the angry phone calls. And as I don't know how many of you know this, but we actually have a revenue share agreement with you counties. We cover the whole state. There's about 46 counties where we actually have a revenue share agreement, which means every time we go out and sell something, your county gets a share of the revenue, anywhere from 20 to 50%. This year, we should return to counties about $500,000 from our sales. And every year, it, you know, steadily goes up as our sales go up. And so every time we sell a copy of the space map, you know, your county's going to get a revenue share. And I guarantee it's going to be more than $5.50 every time we sell a copy of that. In the end, everybody's happy, because the people that are needing those things need multiple counties, or they just at least need a one-stop shop. You know, they don't have to wait know, for your staff to have time to get to it, and they're content with what they're getting. So this is at least a way, you know, if you find that you're frustrated, at least a way to get people out of your hair. In conclusion, I said that in an hour, I'd show you how to get an extra 5 weeks of vacation. We'd answer the question, is GIS the future of cadastral mapping? And we prove that you're the most underappreciated department of government, and I hope you will go home and pitch that message to everybody you talk to. Tell them why, and why your maps need to stay at the same quality level and stay, you know, a definition of those legal descriptions. You need to understand the purpose for the standards that are in that handbook. You need to control the design of the mapping system yourself. Never lose sight of that fact. There are opportunities without risk. There are things that you can do to improve your situation for your mapping, GIS, without risking the integrity of the system. Finally, remember, everyone else's needs, including CD data's, are secondary. If you can keep those things in mind, whatever you put out there in the future, whatever you look for, it will be successful, as long as you remember the foundation and where things come from. Thank you very much. Is there anything else I can tell you? Anything you want to know? I said too much. Okay. Thank you very much. Oh, yes, sorry, there is a question.
I was just curious, saying that you had helped certain counties with, besides the fact that, like, you were staffed, what was your details for why you helped them?
The two reasons, and they're related. I mean, one, either low staffing or just high workload. I mean, San Diego's got a large staff, you know, but all of a sudden you get this huge influx of new subdivisions and things like that. Predominantly, like in Monterey and San Diego, that has been the kind of work we take. It is subdivisions, things that we can do fairly simply because we can go talk to those engineers, we'll get those electronic maps, and, you know, stick them into a new map. Some of the stuff that gets highly complicated, you know, unless we have access to, like, the documents and things in your office, we wouldn't be able to do it. Now, Trinity, you know, there's a case where they send us a regular feed of all their recorded documents, and Denise just works directly with their chief appraiser to make sure that we're doing all of the maps that they have. Now, obviously, it's Trinity County, even when they had a mapper, she was only doing mapping part-time, so it's not a tremendous workload. But, you know, the nice thing is we can take on a tremendous amount of traffic work, you know, and it won't affect, you know, nobody's going to lose their job over the fact that we took that. Because, again, it comes back to only 5% of your day is really doing traffic in AutoCAD, and that's the only piece that we're talking about, getting the maps drawn. You know, you're still going to spend a fair amount of time doing all the other things we're getting. Does that kind of answer the question in terms of where is it more about what's our motivation?
Yeah.
Did I answer it or?
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else? Yes,
please. I was curious about your statewide map. How do you go about the, consolidating all the maps together? I mean, do you have this state thing?
And as far as we're using the state plan, Denise can answer a technical question about, you know, what coordinate systems we're using. But yeah, we're trying to consolidate to, you know, find the correct projection that each region should be using. The main thing that people are needing standardized is just, you know, when I buy it, when I get it from CD data, what layer am I getting? Are the parcel numbers, you know, formatted to match up with the data that I'm going to get? Sometimes the parcel numbers you have in the GIS system don't match that parcel number format that comes out of your roll data. And so that's a problem for them. So we sit there and we make sure that we're sitting there processing the data anyway for our parcel class product, you know, and standardizing it for that product. So now we've got a standardized data set already that we just line up. And so we're now, for counties where that's the case, where you have a different number in the map as in the data, we're going through all those numbers and making them match the data.
So it's a formatting issue. It's not creating a single layer, graphical layer for the whole state. It's just making the most.
It's really a formatting issue. We dealt with the topic of, you know, hey, do we need to seam these things up along the edges, you know, early on? But we talked to enough potential clients, we realized, you know, that's not really an issue for them. What they need to make sure is when I do a data search and I say, show me parcels of interest, I need to make sure that they're all there and they all light up, you know, properly. They overlap a little bit. Well, you know, they're not going out and digging or anything, so if there's a gap or an overlap of some kind within the counties, that's not really an issue. In fact, they may not even load the maps together themselves. They just need to have, you know, the five counties they're working in on the project. They just need to go from county to county and run the same search, you know, to find all the parcels. They may not even stick them together themselves. Even if they do, they kind of blow them out. You know, we don't really care about seeing them up. Now, there are some people that will probably want to do that. It's going to be like PG&E here or somebody else who is going to go dig. You know, they got to, yeah, they got to have something that's accurate then. And that's really important to them, but, you know, put them over the work portfolios and have everything line up. That's kind of phase two. After we get all these maps together and just have them available, that's 80% of the work. And after that, we'll stick them onto one of the photos and begin to line them up for the end. But they will never be a legal description map again. Yeah.
How did you determine that 5% of our time is spent drafting? Do you mean hand drafting or digital work or what?
Well, we've got two drafting people that told us that was essentially what they experienced, as well as just looking at the sheer volume of drafting we've been able to take on. Doing drafting for multiple counties and seeing what kind of capacity we have left is really kind of where it's coming down to. It's mostly just feedback from the drafting people we've worked with. When you've got something like Denise, when she was with Amador, you know, it was a one-person shop, so she knew how much per day is actually spent with maps versus something else. You get into some bigger counties, you've probably got some people just dedicated enough to, you know, doing, you know, specific activities, I would guess.
Well, not really. In fact, what we have done is we use the power of GIS to locate properties. We actually spend the bad words. We use very little time locating and finding where the property is located, because now we can overlay even hydrology layers that take somebody said, oh, my property is cross near to this creek. We don't have many creeks left in LA. So very difficult to find them. But we overlay layers that show those, like USGS layers. We use streets, intersections, roads. So when reading at it, now we just look at the GIS map and we find an overlay of parcels and we're there. Before it took hours, I agree with you, to go through a 50-page legal description.
Yeah.
Now it becomes easy. It's all the matters of using the tools for the right purpose. If you try to use GIS to replace your CAD map, that is crazy. You're right on that. What we do is we use assessor maps, create the GIS base using an accurate as possible base, and from that distribute others. So we have full control of the cadastral maps and the GIS. So GIS is a byproduct.
Yeah.
Then we reuse that GIS in our favor. Like our parcel numbers are generated by the GIS fabric. So in that way we are double checking what we put as annotation and when it comes from a GIS. So.
You're making fantastic use of a GIS system, and I'm never going to come in here and tell you off. You don't need GIS. There's tremendous things you're doing. I mean, Amelia was showing us yesterday some things that they're doing, but the real issue is okay, but you know, throw away your cadastral maps. Just GIS. Not recommended. Yes.
What have you seen in doing or in incorporating Bentley and AutoCAD drawing tools in the GIS?
We strictly use AutoCAD ourselves as our GIS. I'm not sure about incorporating.
Well, the tools, the manipulation and creation of vector lines and text. If you could use those tools that you use in MicroStation and AutoCAD in the GIS database, then you would eliminate one step.
Okay. You know, that's a technical question that's beyond me specifically, because I don't work with the software programs. I mean, Denise could probably answer it better. I don't know if she wants to attempt an answer from the floor.
Well, normally all our customers are really asking for is just the line data. They don't care about the text. They just want that result and shape that they can take and put into their system. So basically, we're just taking your county maps, putting in parcel splits, pushing out a new shape file, standardizing all the APNs and the other data that we have, and ships out to whoever requests it.
So why not save having two mapping systems and create it in the GIS so that you don't have to keep transferring data back and forth?
we may do that at some time, but at the moment that's not the customer base.
Right.
That's your customer base, because you're drawing the cast maps.
Right.
We're doing some of that, but that's not our main priority. That's
right. But it will be a time and money saving priority.
Eventually.
Again, you know, if you're going to, the GIS maps, you know, absolutely can be made more accurate to where one of these days they could conceivably be, you know, a valid description-based replacement. You know, the control points in that part don't exist partly today to make sure that the line work, you know, is accurate enough. I mean, for example, you know, you can take a parcel that's a square, 100 feet on each side, says 100 feet on each side. It's on your cadastral map. Stretch that thing and put it into a GIS map today, and you may come out with something that looks like a trapezoid. It may still say 100 feet on each side. And the question is, you know, okay, now that it's convenient to get access to, have I made an improvement for the appraiser who's now got to look at that, or have I not? You know, so while yes, you could have one big map and always do all your edits there. The question is, have I maintained the integrity of the original legal description based map set when I do that?
Right.
You know, if the GIS map is made accurate enough, and I don't mean by putting it on top of ortho photos, I mean by getting more survey points, you know, survey accurate information in there, you know, then maybe, yes, I could turn that GIS map into that. You know, it takes a while to get there.
There's a misconception with GIS and being accurate. You need information out of GIS. You don't have to have accurate information because you have to do a closed polygon when you're creating a base map. And you're seaming cities together. They may not line up because of the survey data. Well, in GIS, you have to make it close. If it doesn't close, it's not going to be able to query. So GIS doesn't have to be accurate. You're trying to get information out of it. So when you're trying to do mapping and GIS in the same application, a lot of times you have to force something to close in order to be able to query that data. And so the power of the GIS is getting that information, processing that information, finding where information is at and locations, and a huge variety of other applications.
Yes?
Yeah, I just want to point out, too, that I think there's a big misconception among a lot of mappers. I've heard all kinds of mappers say, well, we don't want to give up the accuracy, the accuracy, the accuracy. Well, you know what? As far as what the appraiser wants, he wants a map that looks reasonably good and that the parcel's shaped right. When he gets out in the field, all he cares about is what's on it. He's got to appraise what's on the property. He doesn't care that it's survey accurate.
Where we've run into the problem is when other departments start wanting to use our base map, then we have to beat accuracy out of their head and make them understand GIS is an analysis tool.
Exactly.
It's not a you go out and you know, you put your bomb right here to blow up what you want to blow up. It's, you know, right. Not horseshoes, isn't it?
It's for analysis,
it's
but
for
it's
analysis
also for location and inventory.
Yeah, the misunderstanding goes beyond the needs of our department. We're like you said, we do the GIS for other departments' sake. Our appraisers aren't using it except as a layer on our photo, air
yeah.
photo.
Well,
but
obviously accuracy is important.
Accuracy.
Obviously,
yes.
Accuracy is important, but you're never going to get it dead on accurate. You know, you have to develop a tolerance for error within your department that you're willing to live with.
Well, and it's like his statement about the survey.
And that generally may be how easy it is to fit things together. Two different surveys are never going to line up exactly.
We have places where officially the surveys overlap. I mean, that's the official survey answer. They overlap. And we have large portions of our counties, our county, Madera County. We've got a third of our county is federal land. So we may get something from up there. They don't even know where the public land survey quarters are, which is an interesting story, but a side story. But we have large portions that are grazing land that have never been surveyed. They got section whatever or the southwest quarter of it or something. They never will be surveyed probably
until that land sells to be developed, if it's ever done that. We've got the older parts that were developed that there never was a survey. They sold them the south 5 acres of their property. And so there are so many areas in our county that will never be surveyed within my tenure as a mapper that we've come to accept that fact. And, you know, we're getting information as we can, but you're never going to have a perfectly accurate map.
Well, that's what I mean, though.
One of my suggestions in terms of trying to get things surveyed is at the assessor's conference, you know, like we talked about here, you know, say 5 weeks of time, that same 5 weeks, that same 6 minutes an hour translates a client to about $34 million worth of just your mapping budget. You talked about, you know, saving 6 minutes. You can go present that, hopefully, you know, you can get the assessors to push the idea, you know, see if you can get the legislature or somebody to spend some money, even if they just spend $34 million a year going out and starting to survey those things that are never going to transfer, but yet are causing, you know, either difficulty with the GIS map, you know, to create a master plan to take 70% of the land out there and not 1% of the parcels. So if you can get that stuff surveyed, some of it does transfer, some of that 1% doesn't need transfer, and that's when you got the NASA problem under kind of legal prescription, you know, it's 100 years old, maybe. But if you make those improvements, you know, there is, you can convince them, hey, there's money to be saved, you know, that could be spent out doing surveys that become complete. You had a question.
An observation, maybe, that even if you store your coordinates to the nearest thousand, at 400 to the inch, when your plotter plots, your line is going to be 8 to 10 feet wide.
Yeah, that's true.
That's practical reality.
Yeah.
A lot of the rubber sheeting that we talk about and wonder about is probably less than 8 feet, so it will never show on the map that you look at.
Anything else? Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your time.